hearing of this word, your precious word, Lord. It is what regulates our life, Lord. It is the standard that we live by, Lord. And the more we are aware of it, the more it is in our heart, the more we will live out the pages of this great book, Lord, that's changed billions of people. Hallelujah. There's no book like it, Lord. Hallelujah. There's no book like your word, Lord, that can have such an effect. We thank you for the effect it has on us, and we pray that it will continue to have a powerful effect this morning. In the name of Jesus, we pray, and everybody said, amen. Matthew 25, 14 through 30 says, "For the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling into a far country who called his own servants and delivered unto them his goods. And unto one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1, to every man according to his several ability." You know what's really interesting? That word ability is translated from the Greek word dunamis, which is power and, you know, the spirit. And, you know, I looked at other translations, and everybody has, like, according to their ability, or, you know, kind of their own force, whatever. But that's kind of what it means. God gives us a force, gives us an ability to do stuff. And it can be a force on this planet. And it says, "And straightway he took his journey. Then he that had received the five talents went and traded with the same and made them other 5 talents. And likewise, that had received 2, he also gained other 2. But he that had received 1 went and digged in the earth and hid his Lord's money. After a long time, the Lord of those servants cometh and reckoned with them." You can understand that this is the Lord here. He's the one that came and he went so the Holy Spirit could come. He's sent the Holy Spirit to give gifts to us. And then he's going to go away and be at the right hand of the Father interceding for us. And we are here on his behalf now doing his work. He has sent the Spirit that we could do that. So verse 19, I think I read that already. "But after a long time, the Lord of those servants cometh and reckon with them." No, wait a minute. Where did I leave off? Anybody know? Oh, okay. All right. And verse 20, "And so he that had received 5 talents came and brought other 5 talents, saying, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 5 talents. Behold, I have gained beside them 5 talents more. His Lord said unto him, Well done, thy good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord, of the joy of thy Lord. He also that had received 2 talents came and said, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 2 talents. Behold, I have gained 2 more talents beside them. His Lord said unto him, Well done, good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord." You can see why it's important to never despise small beginnings and small things, because we're going to get a lot more out of it. It's a good trade with the Lord. The little pittance we give him, he gives back in abundance. Most of that will, some of that's experienced here in life, but most of that will be experienced over in glory land. "Then he which had received the 1 talent came and said, Lord, I knew thee that thou art a hard man, reaping where thou hast not sown and gathering where thou hast not strawed. And I was afraid, and I went and hid thy talent." Notice it says hid thy talent. I'm going to get back to that later. "Hid thy talent in the earth. Lo, there thou hast that is thine. His Lord answered and said unto him, Thou wicked and slothful servant. Thou knewest that I reap where I sowed not and gather where I have not strawed. Thou oughtest therefore to have put my money to the exchangers, and then at my coming I should have received mine own with usury. Take therefore the talent from him and give it unto him which hath 10 talents. For unto every one that hath shall be given, and he shall have abundance. For from him that hath not shall be taken away, even that which he hath. And cast ye the unprofitable servant into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. I don't see like any gray area here. You either receive more than you were given, or you're cast away. There's not this holding pattern that some Christians think you can just live in this holding pattern and get by another day. But the God, the Lord, he expects a return for all that he's given us, and he has given us so much. But this parable, some of you have heard this a little bit, bits and pieces of this over at the revival meeting I was at a few weeks ago. But this parable teaches us things about God that are contrary to the message our society teaches. Some of you have seen that video up when you go up to my cabin. It's a tradition, and my daughter-in-law, as I drive them nuts with it, Alone in the Wilderness. Any of you ever see? No, that's not it. That's not it. It's a video of the UP, trophy bucks. And I had Dale Demery up there many, many years ago. And they were going around all of these different deer camps that are way back in the woods of Michigan. And they were interviewing this old-timer named Solomon Tadeucci. And he was like, oh, the bucks, they were big in those days, you know. And he's talking. And Dale said this to me. And I thought, boy, that's an interesting point. He goes, that guy's preaching his gospel. He was preaching what he lived for, that deer camp and all that. That was his gospel. And you know, the world has a gospel. Gospel means good news. The world doesn't know that their gospel is bad news. But to them, it is what they preach, what they believe. They preach what they think is important. They preach where their heart is. They preach what they're after. They preach this and they preach that. And when anybody gets on a bandwagon, and any of us done that before we were believers, you get in one of those sentimental, you almost like feel an anointing in the world, and you're just really telling your stuff and what you believe. People do that with passion. They're preaching their gospel. Well, you and I only have one gospel, praise God, and it's Jesus Christ and him crucified. But there's an Antichrist spirit that's alive and well, and since the days of John, it's been there, but it's increasing with ferociousness and veracity. I don't know if that's a word or not, but it sounds good. And it's getting more intense, it's getting more powerful, and it is preaching to us all over, Americans all over this nation. And it is subtly establishing attitudes in people that will eventually bring people to a place, and we read about this in the book of Revelation, it'll bring people to a place where they'll actually look up to heaven and think they can accuse God of not being righteous. That somehow the world has better standards. They have more love. They have more care. How many people have accused God of not loving, huh? How many of unloving, hateful people could ever stand before God and accuse him of not loving? But it's done all over this planet. But people will accuse God of injustice. They'll accuse you of injustice if you are a believer. And I guess we shouldn't be overly concerned what the world preaches and what their gospel is, but the problem is so much of that makes its way into the church. You know, Israel, you know, John Henniger and Tyler Bessa and Dennis Makarewicz learned his lesson well when somebody wants a king. They know what it's like when somebody wants their king and they want to have it their way, and they bring it in. And that stuff, it gets into the church. Israel wanted a king. Why? Because they wanted to be like the other nations. People bring their thinking in, and if they don't allow the preaching and the teaching to wash their mind with the Word of God, that's what the Word of God does, it washes our mind, then it becomes a place where man's wisdom will rule. If we don't allow the Word of God to do a work in us, you could have the most fabulous, anointed preacher ever standing in this pulpit. But if we don't allow the word and the preaching and the teaching, we don't allow the word, real authentic word from body ministry, wash our minds, It will be stubborn. This place will operate in our own gospel and will operate in our own thinking. Praise God. I'm looking at many people that says, I want the Word of God to rule and dictate. You know, I don't get everything, and I do some boneheaded things sometimes, but ultimately my desire is to let the Word of God wash this mind. I want to hear the preaching. I want to hear the teaching. I want songs with theology. I mean, it's okay to be glad I'm saved too, you know, I'm happy. There's theology in there. We're covered by the blood, and we're delivered from the miry clay, and it's all scripture. Praise God. We have to let that Word wash us, and then we can be. This can be a place where God is. But any steps toward worldliness, no matter how innocent they can seem or how harmless, maybe sometimes even looking good, can and will lead us to bondage if we keep on going. The Lord always sends out a sentry, sends out something to head us off at the pass to say, hey, the way you're going is not the right way. And we resist that and push through, but he keeps on getting our attention, and we realize, hey, I cannot go this way. This is the worldliness is death. Carnal living is death, period. There is no other way to preach that. So I want to talk this morning about some terms that the media and politicians preach. And the reason I say this is because this is their gospel. You hear terms in the church, such as the blood of Christ, the cross of Christ, sanctification, holiness, redemption. You hear these words, you know, glory, power, Holy Spirit. These are the words that you hear come out of the mouth of genuine believers. Well, the world has its gospel, and they have some words that are very powerful in trying to develop in us. Not just us, but all American citizens, to come under their gospel, come under what they believe. They are pounding these things into our head constantly. That's why I would encourage you, if you listen to the news, especially like talk radio, which I do at times, I have to intentionally shut it off. First of all, I don't need to hear all of the negative stuff constantly, but I want to be informed, so I'll listen here and I'll listen there, and But with all of the stuff, the TV and paper, the newspaper, and all these things are constantly pounding these things in our head. They preach their gospel, and then people get intimidated and even convicted by the gospel that they preach because it has a form of godliness, not like the backslidden church that has a form of godliness that denies power, but they have a godliness, a standard that they have erected, that they have put up, and it says, this is what it means to be right. This is the standard that we need to live by. And we know our standard is the Word of God. The gospel, it's a gospel where men set the standards, but they're not commandments from God. They are what is called the gospel of being politically correct. Aren't you sick of that, being politically correct? You got all kinds of goofy, foolish things going on. The latest baloney that's going on is with people that think they're of a different gender. You know, they have bathrooms in case you don't know if you're male or female. North Carolina just passed the law that you have to use the bathroom with the same sex that you were born with. Not what you think you are. And they're getting all kinds of heat. They have musicians that are canceling their concerts in North Carolina because they're not, North Carolina isn't being politically correct. Someone had a post on Facebook, I was a man trapped in a woman's body and then I was born. That's pretty good. I was trapped in a woman's body for 9 months and then I was born. That was a good one. But anyways, that's always bearing down on us. And you know what I hate the most about this? I've felt the pressure of that. I've felt more pressure from that than preaching the truth amongst Christians, even Christians that won't agree with what I'm going to say. I have more boldness to preach that than when I'm out in the world to stand, you know, to know that they're not going to agree with this, or I can't make this statement because people are going to lift their eyebrows. I've been asking the Lord to deliver me from that. And I get too. There's a part of being wise as serpents out there, not just shooting our mouth off. Say the important things about God, you know, but sometimes I just like gets back down and I'm like, you know, I got to the point I was afraid to acknowledge that a black man is black. Isn't that ignorant? But that's the political, like, you have to be colorblind. Like, you can't notice anything about anybody. You know, it's just that they're a human. You can't even tell if they're, not even supposed to notice if they're a man or a woman anymore. This is crazy. I'm going to say it in a way I'm famous for. This is crazy. That's what I used to say when I'd come to work and my guys weren't getting the job done. This is crazy. But anyways, you hear a lot of talk, you know, because we're in the political season. You hear about political or social justice. So I want to debunk all of this baloney of social justice. I want to debunk all of the thing about fairness. Some of you are going to lift your eyes. Oh, I believe in being fair. So I'm going to about wealth distribution, about entitlement, and the biggest one of all is rights. You know, there's some people, God, you know, sincere Christians that like to put the Constitution right alongside the Bible. Those things are billions of miles apart. They're billion. In fact, that Constitution don't work unless you hold to the Bible. That's why you're not seeing democracy, which isn't of God. You don't see it work like it used to because America's turning corrupt. But if they hold to that Bible, just about any form of government will work. You know, you can have a dictator that gets born again and gets saved and all of a sudden start ruling a nation with justice and in righteousness that can change the face of a nation. But social justice means justice in terms of the distribution of wealth, opportunities, and privileges within a society. Again, it means a distribution of wealth, a distribution of opportunities, and distribution of privileges within a society. You know, every one of you has a privilege that everybody else in here doesn't. You have hundreds of privileges that others don't. You have the privilege of being born into the family you were born into. Nobody else, I mean, unless your brothers and sisters are here or something. Every one of you was born with a privileges of certain abilities and talents that nobody else was. These are the kind of things I want to talk about today. Tyler said something a few weeks ago in our Tuesday night prayer, and he is praying, and I think almost in exact words, he asked the Lord to smash the religion of conservatism. And like, boy, you said in four words what I wrote a whole article trying to say. And conservatism, you know, we call ourselves conservatives, but being a conservative is not the answer for our nation. You know, conservatism is a principle of being a good steward. That's what conservatism is being a good steward, whether it's for your own well-being, for your families, or for, in this case, a church, or for a whole nation. To be a good steward with the things and the decisions you have to make, the things that you're responsible for. Conservatism for a Christian is firm adherence to the Bible. So I like to say I'm more conservative than a conservatist. A conservatist. Boy, all of these words here, I'm not very good at them. But I'm more conservative than a conservatist is. And why? Because I adhere to the Bible. Why are you more conservative? Because you adhere to the Bible. You up the ante. You have a stronger conviction, a higher standard than conservatives in this nation do. There is a right and wrong, and we live by what is right in God's eyes, not by what's right in people's eyes. If I'm going to be right this morning and you're going to be right this morning, We'll be right in each other's eyes, no doubt about it. But ultimately, sometimes you can be right and you can have a group of believers to be against you because they're not being right. They're being wrong. We go with what's right. That's what it is for to be a conservative for us. Now, this parable speaks against the self-established righteousness. I hope I'm not confusing you all this morning. I'm trying to make this as simple as I can. But this parable speaks against the self-established righteousness our society has established. Again, if you pay attention, our society will tell you what is good, and they will tell you what is wrong. Sometimes what they tell you, like they'll tell you it's wrong to murder somebody. Well, I can agree with that. But they'll tell you it's all right for gays to get married. That's their standard. That's their gospel. That's what they preach. And you and I say, we have to stop. We have to hit the buzzer right there. We just cannot agree with them on that. So this parable, again, is gonna speak against these things that society tells you is what you have to adhere to. Here's what you have to hold to. But you know, today, Isaiah 5:20, we see it so fulfilled. We see it so prevalent today. It says, "Woe unto them that call evil good and good evil, that put darkness for light and light for darkness, that put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter." It's amazing how this is being so fulfilled today in our life. I had told you time and time again about when I went down to the abortion clinic, and I stand there, you know, we're standing there praying and we're trying to say something to the ladies that are going in for an abortion, encourage them not to do that. And the escorts, they have these green vests on, and then they go walk down the street and they see a lady coming. And I don't know how they always know who these ladies are, but they do. And then they come by and they're protecting these girls from us big bad preachers and God lovers, you know. And you would look at that, if you were standing across the street, look at that and like, oh, look at those people in the green vest. Aren't they nice? Look at their helping. Look at those people, other people there. They just want to do something evil. And these people in the green vest, look at how nice they are. They're protecting her. And it's so backwards. They're the ones that are evil. They're the ones that are encouraging a lady to go in and have that baby terminated, that life killed in the womb. And we call evil good today and good evil. Romans 1:32 brings a climax. As you read that chapter from like verse 18 on, it brings it to a climax of the evil that will grow and you know, be in this world. It says, who knowing the judgment of God. See, it doesn't say that they don't believe in God anymore. They're all past. Atheism's gone. They know there's a God. And they know the judgment of God, and that they which commit such things are worthy of death. They've come to terms with that. But not only do the same, they could care less, and they have pleasure in them that do them. You will see a lot of encouragement out there in the world if you start siding with the world's standards and what they call good, and you'll have a bunch of pats on the back to go ahead and fall headlong into all of the evil and all of the things that are going on out there that they preach is good, that they call good, which is really evil. Anyways, I want to deal with this word, fair. Now, my boys would try to pull this on me, and I know your kids have done that too. Like, I would do something, give Justin something, and then Aaron would say, hey, how come I didn't get one, or something like that. You ever have that happen with your family? And I would just say, like, well, that's just because I love him more. Because isn't that what they're trying to insinuate, right? They're just like, they're trying to make you feel guilty, like you love him more. Then they know that. Aaron knew I didn't love Justin more, but I would just say that, just to irritate him, I guess. But yeah, I just love him more. But there is really no such thing, and I talked about this a little bit, just a smidgen last week. There is no such thing as being fair, okay? God himself is not fair. Now, when you're going to go out, you're going to go out to eat, you can't let one of your kids get to have a malt and the rest just got to have an ice cream cone. I get that. There's some fairness that we practice. I'm not speaking against that. But when it comes down to it, there is really no fairness in life because God himself is not fair. I wouldn't have mind having a few more inches of height so I could have played basketball a little bit better. You know, I wouldn't have mind having a little stronger body so my body wouldn't be so sore from construction. But I didn't get that. Then that's unfair. But, you know, I never said that to God ever in my life. That's unfair, Lord, that I'm only 5'7¼". I'm squeaking out every quarter inch I can get. I am what I am, and you are what you are. And to prove that that God isn't fair, he gave one man 5 talents, and he gave one man 2 talents, and he gave one man 1 talent. Now that is unfair as you can get. But that's how God is. Who's going to ever look up to heaven and say, that's unfair, God, for you to do that? Why? That's unfair that you and I were born in America. And many other people, probably 75% of the world, were born in impoverished conditions. You and I are born in America. That seems unfair, but we are what we are, and we're at where we're at because God is the boss. He's supreme. He knows what he's doing. You and I have the best opportunity to get saved here. If we were born somewhere else, maybe we'd have never got saved. We got saved here. The conditions of America were right for us that got born again. God is not fair in distributing of things, but yet he is very fair. He's also very fair because he says, whosoever will call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. That doesn't matter if you're tall, short, fat, skinny, black, white, male, female, Jew, Greek, American, Egyptian. Doesn't matter. Whosoever calls on the name of, that's pretty fair. And you know what else? It's unfair, but it's very fair. It's fair and unfair. It's unfair that he can take a Jeffrey Dahmer and if he calls on the Lord, get saved. And then a goody two-shoe guy like me that my wife called me. That's unfair. He did so much worse than me. You know, these are the kind of attitudes people get, you know. But God has said, Jesus said, whosoever will call upon the name of the Lord. He's fair to everybody as far as it comes to salvation. And you know what? He's fair because he gives gifts to everybody. Everybody gets gifts. Some might only be 5 talents. Some might only be 2. Some might only be 1. But nonetheless, he's given them to you. So when you start looking at what he's given to everybody else, there's a problem right there. Your mind starts going. You know, we're to be concerned with what the Lord's given us and how we can give it back to him. The Lord's fair. He's given the Spirit to everybody. Every one of us has the ability in the Spirit to do something to honor God and to give back to him. Another thing we hear out there is wealth distribution. That's like Robin Hood, taken from the rich and given to the poor. And it's amazing how many Christians think these kind of things are good principles, that we need to be more fair. And then we need to distribute the wealth. And that gets into the church and people start thinking like that. But it says that God gave these talents according to their ability. You know, some of us have more ability and some have less ability. And again, if we're looking at what I don't have and what others got, then I would say we need to spread this out a little bit. We need to share a little bit. I need to have a little bit more of what you have. And, I was going to say you need to have a little bit more of what I have, but usually people that think like that, they want to keep what they got and want a little bit more of what everybody else has. But wealth distribution, you know what it does? It promotes covetousness. Makes you look at what everybody else got and you start wanting that. And then that violates the commandment of God. Proverbs 12:24 says this, "The hand of the diligent shall bear rule, but the slothful shall be under tribute." Other versions say the lazy shall be under tribute. So the lazy have to serve the diligent. And what's happening in our society is we're getting a lot of lazy people. And they're having to start serving the diligent. And they think that's unfair. And they need to spread it around. But it's not a principle of God. God expects us to take what he's given us and multiply it and use it. The third thing we hear about is entitlement. Like we're entitled to things, you know. People think they're entitled to I guess you're entitled to Social Security. I want to clarify that because you paid into it. You're entitled to workman's comp if there's really an accident because it's been paid for and paid into. You're entitled to unemployment when you're laid off because it's been paid into. But you're not entitled to things that you didn't contribute to. You're not entitled to things just because somebody else got something. We have this entitlement mentality today that we just get to have whatever, no matter if we work for it or not, whatever other people can get. Well, I'm entitled to that too. But you know, we're not entitled to anything. And I said this last week, all we deserve is hell, period. That's what we deserve is hell, period. Anything more than that is a blessing from God. Hallelujah. Thank God he delivered us from hell. Thank God he delivered us from the power of darkness. I should never, ever have that in my spirit that I'm entitled to anything. Everything I've been that I have is by grace. It's a gift of God. We are to be responsible. That's what we're called to be. 1 Timothy 5:8 says this, "But if any provide not for his own, and especially for those of his own house, he hath denied the faith and is worse than an infidel." The word infidel means that he's worse than an unbeliever. So God's given us all an ability to provide. Some of you in here, maybe you will be able to provide to an incredible measure. Some of you might just be getting by. But nonetheless, the Lord has provided. And with that, we must be content. Amen. There's nothing worse than uncontent Christians. Well, there's some other things that are just as bad, no doubt. But uncontent Christians, it's like, this person forgot that they're saved. They forgot what they used to be like. They forgot what they're delivered from. They forgot the blessings of God, and they're starting to think that God owes them something. That's how some Christians are when they get saved. They think, well, you know what? I committed my life to the Lord, and you know, this is really out of my character. I really had to step out in a way I never have before to do this. So God, now that I did it, you better make it up to me. You owe me for the rest of my life because I committed myself to you. Well, that probably is a person that didn't really get saved. If you really get saved, you're grateful and you're thankful from the life he delivered you. Praise God. And that entitlement and mentality, thinking that anybody owes you anything. The Bible even says, Paul's talking to the Corinthians and saying, you take your cases, your court cases to the world. Isn't there enough men of God in your assembly to handle these court cases? And then he says, isn't it even better to just be, you know, how does it go now? Be wronged. You know, it's better just to count your losses and honor God than to fuss and fight and demand and all this and offend God. I'm not saying don't take your matters before the church. Do that. But if you're gonna do more than that, then just suffer the wrong. It's better to be, you know, better for that. And then this is a very short message here today. Sorry, Penny. The last thing we hear is that we all have rights. We all have rights. You know, these talents that were distributed, they were distributed to his servants. The talents, the five, the two, the one were given to servants. They weren't given to lords. They weren't given to masters. They weren't given to anything more than servants, which means slave. Slaves are owned. Slaves have to answer to a master. We've seen those old movies in the Roman days where they had slaves, and they would just, like, you know, you wonder, was it really like that? They were just there at every little thing. They were there at the table. They were serving. They were just standing around ready to, at the beckons moment, to answer. And, you know, I never heard any of those slaves ever say, how come, or when, or can I do that later? They just responded instantly. And this is what the talents were given to: servants, people that God owned. It says in 1 Corinthians 6:20, for ye are bought with a price, therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. So Jesus, the Father, paid a great price for you. He paid a great price for me. And there's nothing of higher value in all of eternity, nothing of higher value in all the universe than for Jesus to shed his blood so you and I could be redeemed and set free. And he did that not to help us out in life. He didn't do that just to help us get through another day. He didn't do that so we could skip along merrily through life. He did that to purchase us. He bought us. Praise God. If you understand that you are bought, that eliminates all the idea about fairness. That eliminates all about, I should get a little of what they got. Now, it's a different thing when the body of Christ helps out one another. Even Paul said that, you know, that, you know, help those in need. They'll give to you what you need and you give to them. So there's... So we have things in common. That's good. That's Christianity. Chris Wilkins said something awesome at the last minister's conference. He said the difference between communism and Christianity is communism takes your money and gives it away. Christianity, you take your own money and give it away. Isn't that good? Communism says, I'm going to decide what's best with your money. Christianity says, I'm going to do what's best with my money, and I'm going to bless who I believe the Lord puts on my heart to bless. And praise God. So when we understand we are servants, we are slaves of God, then it'll eliminate these terms that we hear out there in the political world, and that if you don't somehow play this fairness game with them, and you don't agree with them that we have to learn to start taking the money from the rich and giving it to the poor, and that we're entitled to things. We understand that we are bought with a price, that God owns us. Our only concern will be how to honor him back. That's why it makes so much sense, the most forgotten thing of all of Christianity, the number one reason you and I exist is to give glory to God in everything we do. Boy, if we could understand that again, that would really simplify. And I know how you guys love simple Christianity. We don't want nothing too hard to understand, nothing too extravagant. Just give glory to God and everything you do, whether you eat or drink, whatever you do, do it to the glory of God. And then you'll be far removed from all of that thinking of the world. There are pressures coming, and you're going to have to submit to that. And you can't. You just have to resist it. You'll have to pay whatever the consequences are to not be like this world. You and I are called to come out from it. Anytime Israel looked back to go back to Egypt, wanting the leeks and the onions and the melons, it was a rebellion against God. He called it rebellion. They had a love for the world. They couldn't let go of the things of the past. They had the memories and fond memories of good things. They forgot that they were under bondage. And they were willing to go back. You and I have to, we got saved from that. We've come out from under that. We cannot return.
We owe it to him. We are his slave. We are his servant, and we are bought with a price. So just wrapping it up, I'll just say this. Don't let society dictate what is right or wrong. You know, that to them, everything is relevant today. If something, I heard this on, on the radio. Yeah, I heard it on the radio this week. A man went out to a college. I was laughing when I was listening to this. He went to a college, and he went up to like five or six different college students, male and female, and he said, do you think it's all right for, if a person is confused what sex they are, that they use any bathroom they want? And all of the college students very quickly answered, yeah, well, you know, that, yeah, that's okay. I mean, if that's what they think they are, you know, just let them be. And they all responded very quickly and answered. It was all canned, all programmed. They knew what they had to say, you know, to be politically correct. Then he went to the same people again. He goes, okay, so what if I want to tell you I'm Chinese? All of a sudden, they didn't answer so quick. They started thinking, like, one guy said, well, you're not Chinese. And he goes, then he realized what he was doing. He goes, but I guess if that's what you think you are, that's okay. You know, and he says, well, what if I, you know, and all of them were hesitant. They didn't know how to answer. I think they're starting to realize how stupid they were. You know, they say, well, if a guy thinks he's a girl, then fine, use the girl's locker room. You know, what if I told you I'm 6'7"? Obviously, he wasn't that tall. He was short. And I like, well, one guy says, well, you're not that tall, but I guess if you know, if that's what you think, you know, who am I? And it was just crazy how they so hesitant in answering. But they answered that other question right on the spot because they were programmed. It was dictated. Do not let society dictate your response. We have the Bible. We have the truth. Don't be ashamed of the truth. I've been ashamed a couple times of the Word of God, I'll have to admit, when I knew what the answer was, but I didn't give the right answer because I was ashamed. And I'm ashamed that I did that. And I don't want to be ashamed anymore. We have the Word of God. It is the truth. This is the thing that sets people free. There's no use downplaying it. There's no reason to divert it. There's no reason to cover it up. Let the truth be exposed, because if someone's going to get saved, it's the truth that's going to do it. Praise God. This world is collapsing around us. America is collapsing. I don't tell you that to strike fear. I'm telling you that so you can be grateful that you belong to the kingdom of God. Because the kingdom of God is founded on a solid rock. The kingdom of God will not collapse. It's an eternal kingdom. And it just makes me want to just live for that kingdom all the more. I get to realize that this world's done for, that America's collapsing. You know, I'm not putting my hopes and dreams in it anymore. It's in the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise God. We're set free. Praise God. Anybody have anything to add to that?